Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do, eh?
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us.
Consumers want to make a sustainable choice when they go buy a product. They want a product that is good for them and good for the environment.
Today's guest is Bill Carvalho. Bill is the president and founder of Wild Planet. Wild Planet offers sustainably caught wild seafood. Now, Bill, tell us a little bit about how fish are caught for Wild Planet and what sorts of things we should be looking for.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jennifer, for having me. I'm really happy to talk about how fish is caught. And there's a lot of confusion, I think, among the public about catch methods. When you talk about fin fish, you start lower on the food chain. You think of sardines, other small fish, herring. Those are caught usually by a purse seine net where they circle the school of fish and then close them in and bring them aboard the vessel. That's a purse seine caught fish. No problem in the sardine world or in catching salmon that way. And that's how our salmon is also caught in Alaska. The tuna is caught differently. The way we catch the tuna, actually the fishermen catch it. I stand on shore because I, like you, get seasick. And so they troll little artificial jigs behind the boat, just like trolling for trout in a lake. And they catch them at the back of the boat one at a time, and they bring them aboard the boat, actually hand over hand, one by one. And it's a very sustainable way of catching fish. You're never going to deplete a whole school, and those fish are caught without any kind of bycatch of anything else. Other tuna methods, usually the longline methods, catch a tremendous amount of other species like sharks, sea turtles, and things that are really endangered.
And I imagine the mortality rate once they are caught and dragged up on board the ship is pretty high.
They go back usually dead back in the water,
yeah.
Yes.
So you hear a lot of talk about mercury in some of the fish, and I know that, Wild Planet has a lot of albacore that you can, but this sort of a method also reduces the amount of mercury that a fish might have.
You know, really, Jennifer, it's what kind of fish population is being targeted by the catch method. These fish that migrate up the California, Oregon, and Washington coast in the summertime are juvenile 3-, 4-, 5-year-old fish. And they basically go foraging for feed. They come here because of the sardines and the smelt and shrimp, and they stay all summer. And after about 5 years, those fish don't come back. They now live in very deep waters off of the Western Pacific, off the Philippines. And that's where they become very large 10-, 12-year-old breeding stock for albacore tuna. And those are the parents of the ones that continue to migrate. So those fish will have a higher mercury content because they've just lived longer and been longer in the food chain, accumulating mercury through consumption in the food chain. The ones that we catch just were fortunate that they're a much lower mercury fish.
So, Bill, how did you get started in the business of seafood?
Well, that was sort of, I stumbled into it about 20 years ago. I met an old fisherman that knew my dad, who used to commercial fish smelt up in Oregon, and he told me something, and I believed it. And as it turned out, it wasn't exactly true, but it got me into the seafood business. He told me that there was a monopoly and we needed more buyers. And so I kind of jumped into the seafood business in 1990 when things were actually in decline. And through the 12 or 14 years of business as Carvalho Fisheries, we sort of got our feet wet and cut our teeth on the industry. And in 2004, we really knew what we wanted to do. We wanted to create a branded product line that spoke to sustainability and quality and safety. Mm-hmm. And so we started the company Wild Planet and eventually reverse merged Carvalho Fisheries into Wild Planet. And Wild Planet's entire line of products is designed to put forth really the superstars of sustainable seafood, which really are local albacore tuna, salmon, sardines, one of my favorites, and I think a very important product, as well as pink shrimp.
So let's talk about each one of those items. Tell me a little bit about skipjack tuna. I don't think I'm familiar with that one.
Yeah, you know, most people buy that as light tuna, and that tuna usually comes from very large overseas processing vessels. They wrap the whole school of tuna kind of like I described earlier, how they wrap sardines and salmon. And there's some problems with that kind of fishing, with some dolphin impact. Other species are caught. The entire school is caught. Even the very tiny fish, tiny yellowfin that are mixed in, are caught and taken. So it's not a great fishery. Our skipjack come from Japan because we don't have skipjack here on the West Coast. But there's a great fishery in Japan that catches them with poles. You've seen that on some of the old-fashioned shows where they show the guys bringing them in one by one on a pole, yanking the fish aboard. The Japanese do that. And so we source our skipjack light tuna from that fishery. And Wild Planet tries to go around the world and see what fisheries are really exemplary in their harvest techniques. And then we want to bring those products from those fisheries to the public.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about shrimp. I'm always concerned about when I go into the store to buy it. You know, I'm always looking at those tiger prawns and they're looking so good. And I'm just feeling just more than a little guilty about buying those. What should we be looking at when we're buying shrimp? And what does Wild Planet do about that?
That is such a great question. Shrimp and farmed salmon are really two big problems because we like them so much. And that's a problem. The world cannot produce enough shrimp unless it goes and turns all kinds of wetlands into farms, and the same way with salmon. Mm-hmm. Very difficult to buy an ecologically sound shrimp product, at least if you're looking for the big tiger prawns or white shrimp. There are some wild shrimp choices, and those are problematic because of how poor the stocks of wild shrimp are. So I haven't bought a large shrimp farm raised for I don't know how many years. I just don't do it and won't eat them in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the pink shrimp fishery here on the West Coast is a vastly underutilized product. The little small pink shrimp, you see them in the stores. We have them in a 4-ounce can.
You usually get like a shrimp cocktail or a little tsunamono at the restaurant, and it's the little ones, right?
Yes, the little ones, cocktail shrimp. Okay. Those are so abundant, and they're underutilized, and there's so many ways that those can be eaten. That's a real great way for somebody to make a stand for sustainability, switch from eating big shrimp to small shrimp.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just move down to the small size.
And in fact, lower in the food chain is a really important thing. You know, people say, well, you know, the oceans don't have the capacity to feed the human race, and so we need to have all these fish farms. And yet the fish farms themselves get a large component of their feed from the oceans. And a lot of small fish, sardines, anchovies, herring, those small fish are taken from the ocean, from their wild habitat, harvested, brought, and fed to our captive salmon, for example. And then we eat that salmon, but there's a multiplier there of so many pounds of wild fish for 1 pound of captive fish. And all the inputs of carbon load on that, if we just eat the small fish, there's really a lot of fish on this planet for people.
I know, I thought about that when I see things like omega-3 made with krill. It kind of makes me think about the whales eating krill, and you know, these big boats are probably out there now scooping them up and turning them into omega-3s for us.
That is true. That is happening. And, you know, there can be a certain amount of harvest of every biomass at every level in the food chain. But when there's excessive harvest at a bottom rung of the food chain, it affects the entire vertical food chain above it.
Well, we're very lucky to have Wild Planet Foods located locally. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Bill Carvalho. Thank you so much, Bill.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you, Jennifer.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do, eh?
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.